Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to Leading Better and Growing Faster with Joe and TJ. I'm Joe.
And I'm TJ.
And we are the Schoolhouse 302,
where you can find blog posts,
podcasts with expert guests,
curated book recommendations,
and our genius thoughts.
Always on a topic that has proven to help you lead better and grow faster.
If you want to support the show, all you have to do is hit us with a like, a share, a follow, or a comment
on our site or on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, or wherever you access our material.
Again, thanks for listening and for leading better and growing faster with us.
Here we go with another great episode.
Hello and welcome to the Lead Better and Grow Faster podcast with Joe
and TJ.
And we are the Schoolhouse 302, and we're actually going to dive into riptides. This time, TJ, I really wanted to dig into this topic, but probably not the riptides that some people think. If you're an ocean goer, the riptides that can be right on shore there that are vicious and can destroy a good summer day for beachgoers. We're really relating that type of rip to leadership, leadership in education, how they're just our forces. And these are quick, they're really intense. They can pull us off track in a heartbeat without us ever expecting it. What really unsettles me, TJ, with riptides, you know, on the beach during the summer is you can't fight them. You have to go with them. But our natural human reaction, whether we're enjoying the beach or we're leading a school, is to fight them, is to actually push back. But all that does is lead to greater exhaustion, and we simply aren't being effective. But these things come out of nowhere, and we can give some examples and stuff down the road. But that's what I want to talk about today, if that's okay with you.
For sure. And we're going to give specific strategies to leaders who find themselves being pulled by riptides. These are the things that come up at any given day, any given time. They prevent you from doing important work, or they cause you to do urgent work, and then we get stuck in the urgent and we can't get back to the important. Turns out, though, if we fight too much against that, it's just going to continue to pull and continue to pull. One thing, though, that we've been writing about recently is that riptides can often be caused by our own decision-making. And so we're going to dive into these three strategies because I think they help with times when we make a decision and then something as part of that decision or something as part of the initiative pulls us back. And the first strategy, Joe, is just simply open communication. Open communication with the people you seek to serve. And one thing that I think we've gotten away from and something that I want to underscore for leaders who are listening is the ability, and I do think it's a skill, to explain your thinking. And so we go ahead and tell people the what of something. We often even tell them the how, but we don't tell them the why. And I'm not talking about Simon Sinek's why and all this work about what's your why. And I'm just talking about explaining the rationale and the reasons why we're going in a certain direction with full transparency to build trust among staff members so they're not confused. I can say that's happening in my own district where I feel like we've rolled something out. I feel like we've communicated it successfully and then people are confused. And I just can't help that to go back to that podcast that we did with Curtis Murphy, where he said, expect and assume confusion. Even when you think everything is going right, expect and assume confusion. And so this idea of open, transparent, candid, as always, communication with people and the ability, the skill to explain your thinking as a leader, man, that can solve a lot of problems.
And I think you're spot on, TJ. This is something we want to do. We want to do well. We know the ideas and the philosophy and really the research behind good implementation of initiatives and strategies. You can take Fulin's work, you can take Cotter's work. It's out there, right? But why do you think that's an issue? Like, why don't we explain? Why don't leaders take time and just give people the picture? It doesn't even have to be the big picture, just the picture, and start there, right? We start with the meal before we set the table. And I feel like that's a mistake. But why don't we set the table? table first?
Well, I mean, first off, I think it's a skill to be able to outline your thoughts in a linear way for other people to understand. I really do think that's a skill. If you're struggling with that as a leader, I suggest writing. Journaling can solve that. Writing out your ideas. What's your rationale? The second thing, and this is unfortunate, I'm not sure we always have a rationale. I think there's a shiny thing, there's a next thing, there's a new thing, there's a decision that needs to get made. And I'm calling for a strong rationale for decisions, especially right now. Teacher shortage, initiative fatigue. There's a lot going on in education. If it's not of utter importance for student learning or safety, and we can't give a strong rationale for why we're doing that, I don't think we should do it, number one. And number two, if it's really something you want to do as a leader, you just want to do it. You're like, I think this is going to be good. I think it's a good idea. I just want to do it. Then write out your rationale. Develop the rationale for yourself first. Like, why? Why do you want to do it? Why does it sound so good? And I don't know that we fully build that out in our own minds.
Well, I think, you know, sometimes we're running so fast, right? And we're just got so much going on. If you're a leader listening to this right now, you could probably tell us all the plates that you're spinning right now and that you're keeping afloat. We get that. But I agree, open communication is key. And I think you say something here that's really important that I want to double down on, which is, you know, focus on this idea of continuous improvement always. So what you said, TJ, maybe the leader wants to do it, but the leader has a vision. So if I want to do it, that's fine. That's my job. That's why the district or the superintendent hired me as the principal to go forth and get this done. And a lot of times we have to navigate certain things and we realize, you know what, I'm going to embrace this and do it. But I think when we do that and when we're pushing forward and we're looking to, you know, go down this road of continuous improvement, I think we need to structure it in ways where we can get feedback. And I think that's another missing point sometimes. I hear you loud and clear. We do not do a good job of explaining the why. I would add on to that and say, when we do something, then also create avenues for feedback. So it doesn't just come at like liaison with your union or with teachers being upset, you know, in the break room. Constructive ways for two-way communication. That way, once you explain your why and then you embark on the initiative, then you can actually have, you know, meaningful conversations in ways that support it versus just, you know, really rejecting it. And I think that's a mistake we often make too, that we don't create good avenues of communication, good avenues back and forth, whether that's with your leadership team, whether that's with your teacher leaders, whether that's with staff through different means, through like email. Just get that set up and really emphasize how important it is to you as a leader to hear from those actually implementing the work.
It's so true. So strategy number one, open, candid communication. Strategy number two is continuous improvement. I just want to underscore a couple of things you said there, Joe. The first is that in an effort to have continuous improvement, that is part of the explanation in our communication. Is that why are we doing this? We're doing it because we want to continue to improve. And lots of times we're doing stuff because we want to try it. I just want to try this and see if it works, because what we're doing right now isn't working. And I know if we keep continuing to do this and expect different results, it's the definition of insanity. So I want to try something new. And that's okay that that's the rationale in and of itself. I just want to give this a shot, but let people know up front that this is a thing we're going to try and do. And I expect everybody to do it. I'm going to take feedback. It might not last if it's not going to work, but I want to try something different. That's my prerogative as a leader. Found this thing. I went to a conference, whatever it is. I just want to get people to give it a try for the sake of continuous improvement, for the sake of taking a risk, for the sake of doing something different. And with the notion that we're looking for progress, not perfection.
Yeah, I think that's important, right? That this staff knows that we're not launching an initiative that we can't adjust, monitor when we reflect on it. And I think that's important, because what you're describing, though, is a culture. That's a culture that we're going to try this new. Not only am I going to try it at times as a school leader, that we're going to implement this and see how it goes. Now, I'm not talking about willy-nilly, you know, flavor of the month. We're not talking about being so disorganized that you're going to frustrate your folks. But creating an environment that accepts risks, I do think starts with the principals. It really starts from the top, right? Wherever you are in the organization, try that with your team and then build that in the classroom. You know, we have meta studies on what works for students, but we know not every strategy works the same for kids. So just try it. Try it out. Make sure that your school can become a lab. Just document what you're doing. Reflect on what you're doing. Have open communication. information, see what's working, see what's not working, tweak and adjust. And that goes again along with that idea of continuous improvement. So a lot of times it's not even seen as a new initiative. It's an adjustment to what we're doing to be more effective. And that's a culture.
Yeah, it's a culture. It also deviates. I just want to make sure that leaders know that we understand it deviates from the current type of thinking. Because a lot of times people want you to show up with your 3 or 4 or 5 year plan for implementation of something. And many instances, that's a mistake, because we're going to continue to do this even if it doesn't work. Let's build a culture of try and try a couple of things here and there. We listen to a superintendent tell us that we tend to want to adopt that scale in education, and no other industry do they do that. They adopt in small scale implementation, and then they scale it when it works, and they bring it about to the other aspects of their organization when they've perfected it in a certain spot. And I use that word perfection liberally, because we know that we're always in a cycle of continuous improvement. So strategy number one, open communication. Strategy number two, continuous improvement. Strategy number three. Now, everybody's listening right now, Joe's thinking, well, but you said three strategies. I want the third strategy. What's the third strategy? So here we go with the third strategy. And this is the biggest one of all. I think this is the most important for leaders, no matter if you're in a riptide or not, but it's self-development. You'll never get out of the riptide if you don't self-develop. You'll never get out of the urgent situation if you aren't already strong. I talked to a couple of leaders during COVID. They just weren't fazed by it. I'm like, why aren't you fazed by this? Everybody else is freaking out. And they're like, I've been preparing for moments like this my whole life. I've been developing myself and my capacity my whole life. This does not faze me. And that's what needs to happen. The lifeguard knows it's a riptide when you're stuck in it, and they come swimming after you. They're not afraid of the riptide. And the only way to not be afraid of the riptide is through self-development. This is such an important thing for transformational leaders, to transform yourself first before you transform your environment. We talk about reading. You can get great resources from us on our site, the Schoolhouse 302. We talk about reading 60 books a year. Average CEO reads 60 books a year. We offer 2 books pretty much every month, Joe. And so books is one way, but I'm going to ask you if you could give us some self-development, leadership, growth strategies, some tips for leaders who are listening to say, I want to grow, but I talked to a leader just recently. She's like, I want to grow, but my district won't send me to a conference, and I'm not allowed to pay more than $2,000 for anything that I can do to professionally develop myself. But it doesn't have to be that. That's not what we're necessarily talking about. So give us some tips.
I'll say this, TJ, you know, I just turned 50, the big 50. And for the longest time, I just devoured information. I loved when people said, oh, Joe's a voracious reader or something like that. I took that as a badge of honor. But then I also started thinking, like, am I actually developing and growing as a person from this? And you know, I've talked about this for the last couple years. I will say at this point in my journey in life, I am trying to understand me, more introspection, and really uncovering and peeling back the layers so I know what my strengths and weaknesses are. If you're listening to this and you're saying, look, I'm doing all this stuff and I don't even feel like I'm getting better. And it's hard, right? Because we're talking about our mind, and then we're talking about our actions. If we're talking about our physical self, that's a little easier, right? That's why health and wellness is a $1 billion industry, because you can look in the mirror every day and see progress. It's harder to see progress as a leader because we're not necessarily seeing it through our own eyes. But I disagree with that. If you truly know yourself and where you need to go, you can really start to measure your own growth in different ways. So what I have been focused on for a couple of years now is just deep self-introspection. And I'm not necessarily going through a program. I'm not talking necessarily about meditating, although if you do that, fantastic. Prayer, fantastic. I'm just talking about sitting down and thinking about why something is affecting you a certain way, if it is. You know, suddenly you're in a bad mood. Why? Why? What happened? Right? Like, what caused and triggered that? You know, and I really think that will help the person grow if then they're open to the discovery. If they're not open to the discovery and they're closed off, you won't grow as a human being. But if you are open and you find yourself, you know, whittling into your own self-consciousness, I think you can really start unveiling, you know, a dynamic human being. It just takes time. So that is definitely the tip I have here. Get to really know yourself and don't be afraid. I think it is a tough exploration. We've talked about books. The other thing I love anymore are podcasts. They're everywhere. They are everywhere. You can find them everywhere. And there's just awesome, awesome stuff out there that is sometimes well off the mark that has gold in it. And so I'm not listening to leadership podcasts as much anymore as I am listening to a couple different things that I just love. And they really bring joy into my life and they're helping me think different. And that's what I'm looking for as well.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Nice, great strategies for leaders. Introspection, thinking in general, man. Holy mackerel. How much time do people actually spend sitting and thinking? When's the last time you told yourself, you know what, I'm going to think about this. And then you spent time thinking about whatever that thing is. And maybe even carving that out in your schedule to think. I read somewhere that when a teacher in an Asian country, in particular Japan, was this article. When a teacher comes upon the principal in the principal's office in there and they seem like they're staring out the window, you absolutely do not interrupt that person because they're in introspection and deep thought. In America, if you see somebody sitting staring out the window, you just quickly knock on the door and say, do you have a minute? I'm not saying that that's not something you're going to break in your culture. You're going to break that right away. But finding time to close the door and think is really important. It's a work-life thing. You've got to think about work hard. You got to think about life hard. And that brings us all the way back to the first part of open communication. If you didn't think hard enough about it, you can't communicate it.
TJ, you just reminded me, there's a great book by John Maxwell, Thinking for a Change. And he actually says, have a thinking chair, like a chair you go to sit in to think. And I love that because, you know, if you're sitting at your desk, you know, as an administrator, sometimes, you know, you're answering email, you got your phone, you have papers to sign. It's noisy. It's just noisy. Find a chair, find a quiet space and identify that area. This is my thinking space. Call it my thinking space and go there and think. Leave your phone by your desk.
So true. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about us. We've got 6 books out there. Joe reminded me with Thinking for a Change about our book that was kind of titled after that, Retention for a Change. Go to our site, check out our books. We've written 6 books for educational leaders. On our site at theschoolhouse302.com, you find our free content, blog posts, books to read, book recommendations, all kind of podcasts we recommend, our own podcast, this podcast, great stuff for school leaders, thousands of followers you can join. We also do leadership coaching, group coaching, one-on-one coaching. Call us. We're happy to see what that looks like for you and your team. We have mastermind groups for assistant principals and principals. Those work. We just did a keynote in RTM at the Northeast Innovation Conference. We'll do a keynote for your school, your teachers, your administrators, your association. And finally, all of our professional learning has an emphasis on communication, like we've been talking about today, candid and compassionate feedback. We help school systems to transform from the inside out, getting into classrooms, helping teachers to improve their practices, all with a focus on leading better and growing faster. Again, you can find us at theschoolhouse302.com. That's theschoolhouse302.com. And we'll see you next time.
Hey leaders, before you go, one more announcement. We now have available for you our Candid and Compassionate Feedback Masterclass. Really, because of high demand, we are thrilled to offer this. This is a course that we run live and in person all the time, and leaders love it. They learn to give feedback with skills that they can use right away, including better praise to lift and celebrate your team. It's now available in a virtual online format that you can take on your own, self-paced, from the comfort of your office or home.
Here's what you'll get. There are 11 lessons with a focus on 9 candor cancellations that we wrote in our Candid and Compassionate Feedback book. These are mistakes that leaders make that we don't want you to make anymore. We'll teach you models so that your feedback is meaningful, and we'll give you tools necessary to build the culture that you always wanted. Trust us, without these critical skills, you're not capitalizing on your own capacity to lead better and grow faster. Go to the site, theschoolhouse302.com, click on Shop Courses, add this course to your cart, and start learning today.